Tonight we want to continue our conversation and our discussion and our study on contentment. Good evening to the saints of God. We certainly welcome all those who may be joining us through the Zoom platform as well. Contentment. We read this morning Philippians chapter 4, and it was read in your hearing tonight. We're going to build on that. We read Philippians 4, verses 10 and 11. See, the entire package, if you will, not the entire package, but the subset of scriptures we want to look at for this lesson on contentment really zero in on Philippians 4, 10 through 13. Philippians 4, 10 through 13. So before we go to our text tonight, our lesson text, 12 and 13, we're going to read 10 and 11 one more time. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were all so careful, but ye lacked opportunity. You cared for me, but you didn't have the opportunity to show it, if you will. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Let's build on that. Verses 12 and 13 in Philippians chapter 4. I know a position that a disciple needs to. See, when we talk about knowing, Paul says, I have learned this. I have learned. I know both how to be abased. Recognize something here. When Paul talks about knowing, you're going to see where he always defines the word in context. The same contextual setting. When Paul says, I know, remember what he said in the previous verse, you know, in verse 11, I have learned in whatsoever state therewith to be content. So when you learn, then you know. And sadly, many people act like they know, but they have not learned. And they haven't learned because they haven't been taught. Or they seek other sources other than God's word. So Paul says, I've learned in whatsoever state or means condition I'm in therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, that means to bow low, and I know how to abound. You know, when things are going well or things, you know, from low to high, everywhere, that means everywhere, every place. And in all things, not some things, all things. See, Paul says, I learned this. And saints, I'm so thankful you're here tonight, because when you think about contentment, listen to Paul. I know how to be brought low. I know how to be made high, if you will. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed. There it is again. I'm instructed. Because what is a disciple? Disciple is a student, a pupil, a learner. So I am instructed both to be full, not in need, and to be hungry, desiring. Both to abound and to suffer need. Paul explained everything in context in verse 12. No matter what I'm going through, I've learned. What did you learn, Paul? I learned the secret. I'm getting way ahead of myself. I'm going to say it now. I'll say it at least three more times. I can do all things. It's amazing how many children of God can quote this verse but don't understand contentment. Now you got the context. It should hit differently for the rest of your life because you were here today. Both lessons. Don't start in verse 13. I can do all things in Christ who strengthened me. That's great, but do you understand what preceded that? Paul said, I had to learn this. You got children of God saying, I know what the Bible says, but I'm just going. No, see, you start in 13, but you haven't learned the preceding text. Paul says, I have learned. I've been instructed. I know how to be brought low. I was in distress. I was persecuted. I went through hell, but I learned how to get up. That's why I can say. You can't say this. You ain't faithful to the Lord. You ain't faithful in worship service. You ain't faithful in Bible study. I can do all things through Christ. Why can't you get up out of that bed then? See, you can't put that together. Y'all all right? That don't work together. It's like a student saying, I could be a 5.0 student, but yet you failed that last test. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now we can go to work. I'm going to do something right now that I don't do a lot, but from time to time I got to break it down like this. A parallel study right in front of you. What's a parallel? Parallel lines are side by side. Be careful when you look at various translations if you don't know what you're doing. Let me say that again. Be careful looking at various translations if you don't know what you're doing. It's like trying to drive with one hand in a car if you don't know how to drive. Keep two hands on the wheel. Because see, some different translations, they got new and modern translations that start compromising the very source. That's why we take you, the source is Greek and Hebrew, Hebrew and Greek respectively, Old Testament, New Testament. So when we do parallel studies, I'm going to take you to NIV and the King James. Why? because it helps break down and understand certain words. But see, the reason you don't hear NIV a whole lot, because there's certain verses in Scripture, like Romans 8, if you will, Romans 8 and 1 in the NIV, that takes out certain things, they footnote it. So you got to know what you're doing when you drive. I just gave you that little preemptive Bible students. Let's put it all together. I'm going to do it side by side. We just read Philippians 4, 10 through 13. I'm going to hit it one more time for emphasis sake. Philippians 4, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now, verse 13 should be, it's in invisible ink, engineers. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I was poking at the engineer on that last one. He left 13 off that slide. Amen? But that's called forgiveness and mercy. NIV, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein ye were careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. No, that's verse 13. That's King James again. I see what he did there. You put it in there twice. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern. Here's what I want. You renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I said that earlier, but when you study various translations, you can put them side by side, parallel. Y'all with me? I am not saying this because I am in need. Paul says, I'm not in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Don't forget that. We made the same point, but it's using synonyms for the same word, if you will. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content. If somebody says, I got a secret to tell you. I got a secret to tell you. You should be interested in knowing what natural inclinations. What is it? I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him. Now, you know when you say him, you know parallel. Through Christ. Not just him. People say, I'm him. No, through Christ. Christ, he's him who gives me strength, who strengtheneth me, who gives me strength. That's why you can do the parallel. Now, the secret to contentment. See, Paul is letting the Philippians know. He's figured out. I understand. I had to learn this. I had to be instructed. I learned this through my life experience. I learned this through prayer. God, I understand what God put me through. I get it now. I have figured out the secret to contentment. Now, for those that were not here this morning, and for those that may want to just hit that nail a couple more times, we're going to break it down a little further. Akeo, the Greek word, that's the root, sufficient. Recognize that. In Philippians 4:11, when you look up a word, look it up in the context of that scripture. There's two words there. Compound. I gave you that A-U-T-O, auto, something's automatic. You know, that's something you do. It means, auto means yourself. So now the two words, you know, I gave you the phonetic spelling pronunciation of it as well. So artakia and autarkase. So now why is that so important? Because it's self-sufficient and self-satisfaction. Pause. Now, if you got two products, one says satisfaction guaranteed, other one says at your own risk. Satisfaction guaranteed at your own risk. Which one you going to buy? You have to say it out loud. Most likely, a rational person, it's like, well, there's some fidelity. There's some efficacy means effectiveness. That one seems to be more effective because they're guaranteed. Satisfaction guaranteed. Now, they got this new thing, or your money back, just in case it doesn't work. Well, our sufficiency is not of ourselves. So when you look at the context of Philippians 4:11, self-sufficient, Paul is not saying, I can do all things because I'm all that. Paul didn't say, I am satisfied no matter what the outcome. So a Christian's not happy all the time, but we have satisfaction in Christ. See, they're not talking about satisfaction through circumstance, because some will read that and say, now, brother, I don't know about that, because I ain't satisfied. I ain't satisfied when you preach for an hour. We're not talking about circumstance. We're talking about in Christ. Satisfaction, guaranteed. because he already paid the price. See, so we have self-sufficiency. It's not because of ourselves. It's because of Christ. Amen, if you got that? So that's the context of Philippians 4:11. That, you know, we talk about archeo, that means sufficient. Sufficient. You have what you need. We don't need anything else outside of Christ. It still breaks my heart. Please pray for all Christians everywhere who have gone astray. Amen, saints. Please pray for them. There will be nothing that they can satisfy the flesh doing a lot of different things. People can say what they want, but you're not going to look in God's word. You're not going to look in God's word and use that as the sufficient standard of inspiration and not be faithful to the Lord. Something else is getting to you. The flesh, pride of life, lust of the eyes. It could be a woman. It could be a man. It could be your search for just something where you can have your cake and eat it too. But something, if you are looking for just the word of God, look no further than Miami Gardens. Amen, saints. Because you're getting the word of God. But there's something else pulling on you. And if you really break it down, you listen to people, they'll tell you. They're not going to tell you straight up like, yeah, I just want to do my own thing. But basically, that's what they say. It's a sad commentary. Sufficiency. Watch this. The same Paul, writing to the Church of Christ at Corinth, is going to break this thing down and connect the dot. Sufficiency. Are we self-sufficiency? Are we sufficient in and of ourselves? Don't answer it. We're going to let the Bible answer. Are we sufficient in and of ourselves? Have you ever had somebody write a recommendation letter for you? A reference letter for you? I wrote one last week. Scholarship season. I'm writing them all the time for students who have earned. Because I don't put my pen on everything. I'm asked every day. Sometimes I say yes, sometimes I say no. I wrote one recently for a young lady that was going for a scholarship. That young lady was my daughter, because I know what she brings to the table. Her GPA speaks for itself. She was one of the National Association of Black Journalists scholarship recipients, and now her professor said, you need to apply for this one. So when you do what you're supposed to do, people talk about you. Why do I use that as an example? Because let's go to the text. That's the context I want to share with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Watch what Paul says to the saints at Corinth who were not doing what they were supposed to do. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or do we need, as some others, epistles, letters of commendation to you? You need us to tell you how good you're doing it? Or letters of commendation from you? Paul is saying, we don't need a recommendation letter from you, and you certainly don't need one coming to you. Look at what Paul says, verse 2. Y'all over there, it's on the screen for your convenience. Ye are our epistle, letter, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. People going to read you like a book. Let me just pause here. I wish I would put this up in animation form so you wouldn't read ahead of me. Paul is saying, people see your pattern of behavior. Do you need a letter of commendation if you're faithful? If your name is not called, thank you, sister so-and-so. Thank you, sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so. The scoreboard should speak for itself. We live in a time where when somebody scores a point, they got to beat on their chest, do all kind of stuff. Get back on defense. Scoreboard should speak for itself. Brothers and sisters, what Paul is saying, the Corinthian church was a mess. Many were unfaithful. Paul said, purge out that old leaven and become a new lump. They had to withdraw because they were disorderly members. So Paul is saying, your behavior, your faithfulness should speak for itself. Do you need a letter of commendation? Do what you're supposed to do. He said, you are epistle, you are letters written in our heart. See where I'm pointing? Written in our heart, known and read of all men. Amen, saints. It gets better. For as much as you are manifestly declared, verse 3, declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, referencing the Old Testament, the Mosaical Law, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Here we go. Here it is, folks. And such trust, confidence, faith, reliance we have through Christ. Same Paul. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And such trust we have through Christ to Godward. Looking up, not outward. I'm looking up, not inward. Not based on my sufficiency. Not based on your sufficiency. through Christ to God's word. Let set your affections on things above, not on things in this earth. Same Paul in Colossians. Amen. Y'all all right? Look at this. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. Pause. So self-sufficient in the eyes of Paul, in the Greek word in Philippians 4:11, autarkarse, is not saying self-sufficient, I got it, I'm all that in a bag of chips. Paul is saying, no, I am self-sufficient because of him who strengthens me. I am self-satisfied because of him. So when I walk out, when self, this person, insert your name, when we walk out, I am confident because of him. There's nothing the board can say to me tomorrow. They can say I'm fired. That's their prerogative. I'll still be all right. Their loss. You need to have that added. That's a confidence, not in ourselves. It's in him. So when Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, we're just that, we're next level. But it's not just high-mindedness. We're going to deal with that in a second. Our sufficiency is not of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Please note that. I put it in bold. I underlined it so you could see it. Our sufficiency is of God. To God be the glory. So on that job, in your home, no matter the state or condition, state meaning condition, you're going to be all right. Who also hath made us able ministers, servants, by translation, of the New Testament, not of the letter, still cross-referencing, contrasting, if you will, more appropriately, the law. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. We have a new life in Christ. And we can do anything. We are empowered by Christ. So contentment, let's go ahead and put a bow on this. Watch this. So contentment, if you've been following all day, Paul's satisfaction was not based on the outward, we've said that, circumstance, your job, okay, something's going on in the job, something going on in the home, something going on with your health, something going on with your finances. Put all that together, now you're going to sit there and just cry. Nothing wrong with crying, nothing wrong with Jesus wept. But get a grip, saints. We got saints that are unfaithful here in this congregation. Ask them what's going on. It's going to be all the finances, romance, lack thereof, job, kids, this, that, the other. Get a grip. I'm going to say it to you all right now because I don't want anybody to go to hell, nor do I, or Rick. Get a grip. You're allowing outward to affect your inward. I'm pointing to the heart, and it's affecting your behavior. And there's a pattern of behavior, which means when things are brought down, I'm praying for a new job. Then you get a new job, but I got a job. I can't come to service. Be careful what you pray for. Y'all all right? Paul, self-satisfaction, self-sufficiency was based on Christ and not himself. On the outward, and not, but on inward sufficiency, not based on the outward. The sufficiency was not based on personal resources. We made these points today. We're going to make them again. It wasn't about what he could do. It was about what God provided, the divine resources. Paul learned to be content. As Christians, as students, as disciples, as pupils, as learners, we are ever learning. This is an ongoing action. Just because Rick and I are elders don't mean we don't learn. We got to learn every day. Thank God for our kids. We learn from kids all the time how to forgive and move on. That's a lesson we adults need to learn. We as disciples are ever learning. So when Paul says, let's zero in on 12 and 13. I know how to be abased. See, this is a learned state. I know how to be abased, both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things. I should have put that in bold. Everywhere and in all things. I want you to write down in your notes, situational leadership. One of my favorite topics in grad school when I was there. Situational leadership. You can't do the same way, react in the same way to everything. If you are a screamer and you get upset and you scream everywhere, you're going to be kicked out of some meetings because that don't work every time. You get upset, you're just going to be, Now, if the building's on fire, we need you, screamer, to let us know. That was a situation. That would be appropriate, but not in everything. Paul says, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. It's going to come make even more sense in a second. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. What can we learn from that? I'm so glad you asked. Paul, like us, have ups and downs in life. Good times and bad times. Situational leadership, how you act. There were times when Paul was in need and times when he lived in plenty. He said, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Look at what Paul says, but here's a challenge. Paul mentions this. He had to learn this. This is how we learn contentment. When things are down, the danger for us is we're in total despair. I don't know what to do. I'm just going to cry myself to sleep. I don't know what to do. And guess what, saints? Midst of a storm, headed for a storm, coming out of a storm. We're going to do a workshop. We're going to have you sitting in those sections. We're going to do the workshop 6 months later and see if you're sitting in the same sector. You're in a storm for 6 months. You're in a storm for 12 months. We're going to keep doing it because their seats should change. And maybe sometimes if the same person is in the midst of, I've just been in a storm my whole life. Well, then you look into life through the wrong lens because we're not all in a storm every day. Amen, saints. When we are down, the danger is despair. When we're up, the danger is pride. We got to be mindful. That's why our self-sufficiency, self-satisfaction is not based on us. Paul says, through Christ, Godward. Keep our feet on the ground. We're going to be brought low. We're going to be abased. Lord, I'm still with you. Situational leadership, I still trust you. I can do all things through Christ. When things are going well, thank you, Lord. To God be the glory. Thank you for this opportunity to help kids. Thank you for this opportunity to help families. Thank you for this opportunity to help children of God. Whatever it is you're doing that's going well, thank God for it. Be reminded. You didn't do that in and of yourself. God gave us several ability, individual ability, respective ability. But we got to make sure we understand that we can't let these down, the downwards of the things that are not, quote unquote, not so good. Don't let them degrade us. Don't let the ups exalt us. There's a balance. I can do all things. But see, now here's the key. We made it this point this morning, but now you got the full context. The circumstances of life can change just like that. Just like that. You can get a phone call that will bring you to your knees. But life has to go on. I got that phone call from our mama when our grandmama died. I got that phone call from Chantel's daddy when our daddy died. I was in a meeting in Coconut Grove. Never forget, sitting in the booth with two of my staff. We just found your daddy. Never forget that phone call. I said, I got to go. They're like, you all right? They see the look on your face. I said, I'm good. My daddy just died. They were like, we'll be all right. Carry on. And I went up there and stood outside that house. Detective said, don't you go in there. You don't want to see what I just saw. We taught him the gospel. He died in the Lord. That's all we can say. What's my point, saints? Don't let any circumstance cause you to lose sight of who's truly in charge. Amen, saints. The circumstances of life change in a moment, but that none of those circumstances define who we are. Rick and I found our daddy. He came here. Some of you knew him. God saw fit to give us the opportunity, that small span of time within the context of our lifetime, to at least meet him. Some kids never get a chance to meet their daddy. We had that time. We had time to meet Chantel's daddy. He obeyed the gospel down at the Gould Church of Christ that had been taught by us. So again, you can look at life circumstances and say, my goodness, that hurt, that's a void, but we got to press on. But see, the world's still searching. Situational leaders, the world's still searching. The world is, and some children of God who have left, who have fallen away, put themselves in back almost in a worldly sense. I just want to find the right church. What in the world are you talking about? Out there? Denominationalism? Then you're going to start finding things that you like. I like this part of this one and that part of that one. I'll overlook this, some basic biblical stuff. The world still thinks it's money. Education, power. Look at these folks on TV, and it's a political season, so you know nobody's going to ever lie in politics, right? You got video of somebody saying, I can't stand that man. Now later, I love this man. Politics, power. Power will make people do, even Christians, do some untoward things. So we as children of God need to be reminded, Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 16, that he would grant you, talking to the saints of God, according to the riches of his glory, the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. What did Paul say? This is Paul writing to the church of Christ at Ephesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what Paul is saying. Now look at this. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Don't let anything shake you. We're going to shed tears. We're going to be disappointed. We will be angry. That makes us human beings. But stay focused on Christ. That really upset me, what you did or what you failed to do. But how are you going to handle the child of God? I already know tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'm going to light about 10 people up in a meeting. I already got my notes. But I ain't going to cuss them out. They're going to be better people at the end of that meeting tomorrow. If they watch this lesson, they're not watching it, but maybe. Falling short in too many areas. Make sure you know what you're doing and to whom you're doing it for. But see, saints of God, we're not cowards. We have to be stronger. Don't back down from the devil. Stand up, speak up, show up. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted, that speaks to consistency, and grounded, that speaks you won't waver. How? In love. That's why to be a gospel preacher, you got to be rooted and grounded in love. We got too many wayfaring gospel preachers. Just want to tickle people's ears and be popular. No. I'm going to tell you the truth. You can hate me, but you won't know the truth. If you're uncomfortable, that means we're doing our job. If you're comfortable all the time, like, oh, that was so funny, that's cute. No, it ain't cute. Your unfaithfulness ain't cute. Your wavering ain't cute. My wavering ain't cute. We got to be consistent. Amen. What did Paul say? Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So what's the secret? Let's go ahead and close this. Come on, song leader. What's the secret to Paul and our contentment? The secret is Christ. Not money. Not education. I'm just going to be content on this job. Well, the job's not your life. Do your job, get paid, and come back the next day. Because the job's not your life. Hopefully you enjoy what you do. If you don't, keep enjoying what you do while you're getting paid as you look for something else. In that order. Because if you quit because you get mad, now you're like, y'all pray for me because I'm struggling. Well, you had a paycheck. Sequencing is important. So the secret of Paul's contentment and our contentment is Christ. Why? Because that secret, no matter what happened, the Lord would stand by him. I can do all things. Paul, what did Paul say? In every place and in all things. God's got my back. So that's why when Paul says in Philippians 4:13, we've already said it, one of the most well-known verses in the Bible, John 3:16, Philippians 4:13. And when you read John 3:16, you need to keep 17 in there as well. And when you read Philippians 4:13, you need to make sure you understand what happened before that. Don't start in 13 is a great place to start if you understand. I wonder, and my nephew up here on the stage, Ricky, can do more math than I could ever think of. But I don't think when Rick and Stephanie gave, and I used to hold this I'm about to say this little boy, but this man, I used to hold him when he was a baby, I remember having a bottle in his mouth. Then he got smarter and smarter and smarter. His level of math is much higher than mine. He's taken multiple calculus. He didn't start in calculus. Stephanie and Rick taught him probably 2 + 2 and the little stuff. Amen. So you don't start in Philippians 4:13. You need to learn how to get there. Paul says, I learned how to be abased. I learned how to abound. I've been instructed through my life experiences. God has allowed me to get through this. Therefore, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So that ischiros, the Greek word, another Greek word because you've been so good, is I have strength in every situation. Wow. Keep that. I have strength in every situation. I ask you to put situational leadership in your notes. Oh, you got another bonus scripture tonight. another bonus Greek word. I have strength in every situation. One of my favorite Greek words is dunamis. D-U-N-A-M-I-S. Dunamis. I'll put it on the screen for you. There it is. Strengthen it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. In other words, I have strength in every situation. I did a leadership training last week out of town, and I ended it with the Hall of Justice. Some of you don't know what I mean by Hall of Justice. We grew up, we watched the Super Friends, Brother Hart. You better remember, you remember that. It's the Super Friends. You had Batman, Superman, Aquaman, Wonder Woman. I'm probably missing a few more as well. Batman, you got Robin there too, I think. So if there was something that was needed by sea, send Aquaman. It's underwater danger. Send Aquaman. Somebody lying, send Wonder Woman with her truth lasso and put that lasso on them, which we had that for the saints. Put the truth lasso on them. Where were you? Y'all get it, Hall of Justice? I guess today, modern day, is the Avengers. There's strength because we got something. We need somebody to just to tear something down. Send the Hulk. I know I'm giving you some comic book stuff that some of you may not understand. You need to go ahead and fly high. Let's go ahead and send Iron Man. You need to go ahead and climb that wall. Send Spider-Man. So we as Christians, our ordinary becomes extraordinary. Superhero. Super means above. Above that which is mortal. Now we're immortals, but yet we serve the one who is immortal, that has all power. So when Paul says, as we close out, you know, I can have strength in every situation. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That strengtheneth comes from that compound word, dunamis. Derivative, dynamite. Dynamite. Our last verse tonight. So when Paul says, I can continue to have strength in all things through him who constantly gives me power. Constantly. So Spider-Man has a, you know, that extra strength, Ricky, from being bitten by a spider. Iron Man has that little halo in the middle, if you will, whatever that thing is called, in his chest, right? Kryptonite can weaken Superman, and so on and so forth. Christians, nothing can touch Christ. Any situation, they tripping on the job, excuse me, bothering you on the job. Family ain't acting right. Fellow saints are not acting right. Christ is always right. Man won't always be right. I can do all things. I can continue to have strength through Christ who continually gives me power. And speaking of power that we're talking about, there's only one power that God uses to save mankind. There's only one power that God uses to save mankind. Get this now. You want to have a Bible study with somebody? Say, okay, what kind of power? Ask them, what kind of power does God have? Name something that power that you believe God has. Well, he raised the dead. I remember something about Lazarus. Good. Well, he created mankind. Power of creation. Good. Give me some other power God has. Well, he can calm the wind and the sea. Yes, God did that. He made the Red Sea stand up. Yes. What power does God use to save man? Healing power? No, what power does God use to save mankind? Does the Bible tell us? It does. Romans chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, as we close. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power, Greek word, dunamis, of God unto salvation. To everyone that believe it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. What is the Bible saying? There's only one power that God uses to save mankind. The dunamis of God. The power of God unto salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ. What must you do to obey the gospel? Keep in mind, God can raise the wind, can calm the savage sea, the raging sea. He can calm, he can say, peace be still, and everything will be still. But in order to save mankind, it's the gospel of Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We must hear and believe the gospel. Repent of our sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5. We must be willing to repent of our sins, and once we repent, confess Christ to be the Son of God. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. If you deny him, he's going to deny us. We'll baptize you tonight. Tonight, for the remission of your sins, and you rise up to walk in a brand new way of life. Christians are situational leaders. That's my final point. Christians must be situational leaders. It's not the same response to everything. Same, because it ain't the same scripture in everything. If somebody wants to talk to you about forgiveness, you're going to tell them about the Noah's Ark. Well, you can work forgiveness into that bad example, Gail. Because God did forgive those that were in the ark. He saved those in the ark. But the emotional response has to be different. We got to be strategic. You got to be tactful because not everybody's in the same place. Babes in Christ versus a mature child of God. You have to make sure we are tactful. And so it is tonight. I pray that something was said to cause each of us to grow. grow closer to God, but you have a better understanding of what a disciple is from last week and what contentment is today. And so if you're here tonight and you need to respond, why not tonight as we together stand and as we together sing? Won't you come?